Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This, God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him, and then you felt like you wasn't worthy, and so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room, and I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me, and I said, I want you to do this graph for me, and that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on not meant to be way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come. Living the life.
now an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. Public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They're going to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show you your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children, because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules them.
All right. It's April here, April 4th. Today, we might do a open mic thing again, but the title I have on board is, can an open marriage be protected? Can an open marriage be protected, or can a man protect his family in an open marriage? 619-768-2945, that's the number. Now, we're also going to, I'm going to put out this, see if you guys want to chop it up on it. I got this text. South Carolina University's women's basketball team, University of South Carolina, catches flack for skipping national anthem at the Final Four. So we're going to, we might even open up with that one. But what do you think about that? Here's an American university, the University of South Carolina, and they're in the Final Four for women's, you know, this is March Madness and everything. And they decide not to come out for the national anthem. What are your thoughts on that? 619-768-2945. Particularly at this time, you have one of the professional basketball players touted as the best, or one of the best, Brittany Griner. She is being detained in Russia. She's been there since February. Now, she had the same feelings, Brittany Griner, you know, as far as when it comes to kneeling or that type thing. But Now she needs the help of the United States government.
Who are you? What's up, everybody? This is Jay, and this video is about, is Tariq worth $2 million? Now, we all know that he's a damn fool, and he deserves what he's getting, but is he worth $2 million? Before we do, let's hit that like button. I need to get 200 likes for this video, and if you haven't already, please subscribe and bang that bell. I'm trying to reach 20K subs by the end of the month. Let's get into it. Now, Tariq, we all know, is a damn fool. He doesn't listen to Ghost or Tasha, and he's been corrupted by Kanan and turned against his father by Kanan and Tasha, and now he thinks that he's a dope boy when all he is a dorm room dope boy. He doesn't know anything about real life situations. And so he tried to get over on Vincent in the Olive Garden, though.
Okay, I had to call back in. I got booted. Okay. In any event, what's your take on it, people? We got two things we can talk about. Anything else you guys want to talk about? Number one, can an open marriage be protected? Another way of putting that is, can a man protect his family with an open marriage? Or we can get into this the article that I was and let me go back over it again. In South Carolina, the team, the South Carolina women's basketball team from the University of South Carolina, They caught some flack for skipping the national anthem at the Final Four. So, what's your take on that? Should they? I mean, they do have a legal right to protest, and they did that peacefully. But should they? I mean, what do you think about that? For me, my take on it is this: number one, their coach is a millionaire, not a Russian millionaire. Not a millionaire from Egypt or England or China or Zimbabwe. She became a millionaire in the imperfect United States of America. There's no such thing as a perfect country. She earns over $2 million a year in the United States coaching basketball. This black woman, Dawn Staley, became a millionaire in this country through the opportunities that were given to her in this country, number one. Number two, at the end of her contract, she's going to get a raise of $3.5 million a year for coaching basketball in the state of South Carolina in the United States of America, paid in United States dollars. All right. Three, I'm assuming that most of the players on her basketball team at the University of South Carolina are scholarship players. In other words, their tuition, their room and board, books, all that, travel expenses, medical expenses, all that's paid for in United States dollars in this country, by the way, which is not getting bombed like it is in Ukraine. They can sleep at night with a peace of mind. All right. Now, on the other side of the pond, in Russia, one of their heroes, Brittany Griner, who was also a millionaire, okay, in United States dollars, not rubles, but in United States dollars, Brittany Griner, she protested, which she had a legal right to do, the United States of America. While she was protesting, though, she was also getting paid $250,000 by her WNBA job. If you're going to protest, let's go all the way with it. Just don't even accept dollars. Okay? And she was getting paid dollars, not rubles, for the last 7 or 8 years by playing professional basketball in Russia. However, she's been hemmed up in Russia since February. And she really needs some help because her WNBA, the ladies at the WNBA, who, they've got money. Dawn Staley's got money. I haven't heard of any of these women that have ponied up to hire the best international attorney or the best lawyer in Russia to help Brittany Griner come home. I haven't heard that. It might happen, and I don't know about it. Well, that's possible, but I haven't heard that yet. But what she needs is some serious help from the United States government. You know what? The power of being nice and recognizing where your blessings are flowing from goes a long way. Any event, but that's my opinion. You know, there are different types of capital that you need in this world. Brittany Griner needs some political capital right now. She needs political capital. People out there that have the political capital that can get her freed up, possibly by the end of this week. But here's the catch 22. Some of those people knew or heard what you said and went on YouTube and heard what you said or saw what you said, and they're not lifting a finger to help you out. You're essentially on your own. Now, for these youngins here under Dawn Staley's, you know, tootless right now. Because, you know, these young ladies are looking up to Dawn and whatnot. Hopefully, in a few short years, the same thing that happened to Brittany Griner, hopefully it won't happen to them. Once you get that passport, okay, and there's a number of other things that it not even included in the passport. You never know when you might need the government. Brittany Griner on the surface looks like she, you know, nobody has her back. But hey, you didn't have the USA's back for the anthem. Anyway, so we can talk about that, or can open marriages be protected? Or can a man protect his family with an open marriage? Or anything else you guys want to talk about? Hopefully Dawn Staley won't be making any trips to, you know, I think a lot of times we Americans take a lot of stuff for granted. Particularly with this Ukraine stuff going on. I got a chat buddy. I check on her every other day, sometimes every day, over in Ukraine. And she's doing all right, and she's in Kyiv, or Kiev as I call it. But she hears noises, and you know all this other stuff. She's just been fortunate nobody's dropped a bomb where she's at yet. But there's plenty of damage and carnage throughout that country. Brittany Griner never experienced any of that stuff. Brittany Griner grew up during peacetime. Any event, we'll follow up on Dawn Staley's team has stayed in the locker room since last season. Anyway, I've used her my opinion on it. So, any comments? 619-768-2945.
You see that? I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country. Men, all this stuff you heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle. When you were kids, you all admired the champion marble shooter, the fastest runner, big league ball players, the toughest boxers. Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser. Americans play to win all the time. I wouldn't give a hoot in hell for a man who lost and laughed. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war. Because the very thought of losing is hateful to Americans. Now, an army is a team. It lives, eats, sleeps, fights as a team. This individuality stuff is a bunch of crap. The bilious bastards who wrote that stuff about individuality for the Saturday Evening Post don't know anything more about real battle than they do about fornicating. Now, we have the finest food and equipment, the best spirit, and the best men in the world. You know, my God, I actually pity those poor bastards we're going up against. By God, I do. We're not just going to shoot the bastards. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those lousy Hun bastards by the bushel. Now, some of you boys, I know, are wondering whether or not you'll chicken out under fire. Don't worry about it. I can assure you that you will all do your duty. The Nazis are the enemy. Wade into them. Spill their blood. Shoot them in the belly. When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do. Now, there's another thing I want you to remember. I don't want to get any messages saying that we are holding our position. We're not holding anything. Let the Hun do that. We are advancing constantly, and we're not interested in holding on to anything except the enemy. We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose. Now, there's one thing that you men will be able to say when you get back home. And you may thank God for it. 30 years from now, when you're sitting around your fireside with your grandson on your knee, and he asks you, what did you do in the great World War II? You won't have to say, well, I shoveled shit in Louisiana. All right, now you sons of bitches, you know how I feel. I will be proud to lead you wonderful guys into battle anytime, anywhere. That's all.
In July, we brought you a story about poverty in Alabama.
Okay, today we've got two topics that you can pick from. If you guys bite, if you don't bite, then we'll move on to something else or any of your suggestions. Topic number one, which is a twofer, well, it's one and the same. I just stated it two different ways. Can an open marriage be protected, or we can narrow that down a little bit more. Can a man protect his family if he's in an open marriage? All right, that's topic number one, both of those questions. Other topic is, and this is from a news article that somebody texted me this morning, South Carolina, the women's basketball team of South Carolina, the South Carolina Gamecocks women's team, who won a national championship last year, they did not come out for the national anthem this past Friday. So some people have a problem with that. And I find that kind of interesting also because, number one, I think they should have come out, and here's the reason why. Number one, Dawn Staley, who is an African-American black woman from Philadelphia, she is the highest paid women's coach in the United States of America. She earns over $2 million coaching women's basketball. Basketball in the United States, and all of it has been financed from her college days till now by United States dollars. All her opportunities to travel within the United States and internationally with the Olympics has all been bankrolled with United States dollars. Now, the United States is not perfect, but there's no such thing as a perfect country on the planet. Name one and call me at 619-768-2944 and let me know of a perfect country that has ever existed. It won't, because people run countries and people on a mass level are not perfect. So, the last year of her contract, her current contract, she's due to earn $3.5 million paid in what currency? United States dollars. All right. Her team, the young ladies that she is coaching, they're on basketball scholarships, all bankrolled by United States dollars. Right here in the United States. All right. And now, you got to think on this one. This shouldn't be an emotional type thing. Although there's nothing wrong legally with protesting. They have a legal right to do that. Well, even throw in a moral right to do it. But I don't think they're thinking, because the way I see it, the game of life is a game of chess. Now, right now, one of the icons of women's sport, particularly female professional basketball, is Brittany Griner. She's 6'8", 6'9". Brittany Griner is a celebrated American basketball player. She, too, went to college in the United States on a basketball scholarship. She, too, won a national championship on the women's side of the game in college and was celebrated for that. Then she got drafted into the WNBA, Women's National Basketball Association, and she gets paid $250,000 a year. That's some good money for playing basketball. Now, she also, for the last 7 to 8 years, has been going to Russia, and Russia likes women's basketball, professional basketball, more than the United States does. So she gets paid at least $1 million a year to play, and she gets paid in United States dollars. She doesn't get paid in rubles, she gets played in United States dollars. That's over $1,250,000 in United States dollars that Brittany Griner gets paid. But, and then Brittany Griner, she protested the anthem. But now, Brittany Griner has been locked up in Russia since February of this year. And I wonder if she needs the United States government now. What does she think about that anthem now? Has Dawn Staley kicked in even $5 so that Brittany Griner can hire? Because Brittany Griner needs a good criminal attorney in Russia. She also needs some political capital right now from the United States. Now, there are people over in this country that have the political capital that can get her sprung. But, and you know what? Some of those people, matter of fact, when she was in college, you know, all these college teams, at least back when I was playing, and they probably still have it now, are supported by boosters. Boosters are typically people who own a business, and they donate money to, you know, athletic or whatever extracurricular activities on a high school level, college level, that type of thing. A lot of those people are political. However, and once again, you have a right. You have a moral right. You have a legal right to protest. And yes, the United States has some warts, but every country. If there's a place, show me the physical location on a map of where Utopia is, and I'll book a ticket today to move there tomorrow. Okay? Utopia hasn't been invented yet in the physical world, at least not to my knowledge. But in any event, Brittany Griner does not have any political capital. And she needs some legal capital. So millionaire Dawn Staley, see, there's only one of her, though. She gets the biggest paycheck. But there's only one of her right now. Now, on the WNBA level, you know, you've got, matter of fact, let's look at this. Okay. Let's look at how many WNBA, I'm going to look that up right now. How many WNBA teams are there? They're 12. That's not a whole lot. There's just 12 of them. So let's say you got, let's do a little arithmetic here. You got 12 teams with about, let's say, players each. That's 144 players. And WNBA doesn't make NBA money, but let's say they earn $100,000 each. Brittany Griner gets paid $250,000. That's over $14 million. Now, among those players, they can kick in and they can hire her a real good, well, I don't know about real good, but they can hire her a Russian attorney and pay in rubles. Because right now the dollar, let me go on my currency calculator here. The ruble, what is the ruble right now? Okay, I had to wait for my phone to boot up on it. $1 multiplies 84 times to Russia's ruble right now. But I don't hear anybody in the WNBA passing that hat. And where's the, you know, where's the team spirit of, all right, let's book a plane and go over to Russia and give some support, because you need that passport now. In any event, 619-768-2945. We can talk about this Brittany Griner thing, and like I say, she needs help from the United States government right now, but apparently she felt she would never need it when she protested last year. You want to talk about that, or can open marriages be protected, or another way of putting that, spinning that is, can a man protect his family with an open marriage? 619-768-2945. Let's go to the lines right now. 323 area code. Your mic is open.
Okay. Who was on that clip that you played? Was that Smedley Butler?
The last one was the movie clip from Patton, the movie. George C.
Scott.
So
that was George C. Scott. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I'm going to have to look that up because I believed in that philosophy where people are saying, well, I would die for my country, die for my country, die for my country. It's a very noble thought, but I believe that if I was going to round up a bunch of soldiers, I would put them into two categories, those who want to die for their country and those who are willing to kill every motherfucker on the planet for their country. So I would take the ones
okay.
who want to kill.
I like the way you put
opposed,
that.
You know, yeah. Well, how you doing, L.A.?
Fine. That's very practical, because once you're dead, you can't do anything.
Yeah, and I understand the sentiment. You know, if I'm willing to sacrifice my life, that means I really, really am dedicated to this cause. Well, yeah, but you're also telling yourself that you just might be making a mistake at the wrong time and die. I want
right.
the person whose self-preservation instinct is in full gear. So I'm glad I heard that, because I don't know of anybody else who believed in the same philosophy as I did. And I thought that was Smedley Butler, but okay. Patton.
Yeah, that was George C. Scott from the movie Patton.
Okay. So getting to your topic, can a man protect his wife in an open marriage? Yeah. I happen to believe that open marriages are screwed up and people who engage in them are fucked up, because if you're going to get married, that means you don't want to share your spouse with another person as intimately as you do with her or with him. And if you're willing to do that, then you don't really love her that much, and she doesn't love you that much. Or maybe they love, but they don't have a healthy love. So when Will
right.
Smith went up there to slap Chris Rock, I think he did it more out of to prove to her that his manhood is still intact, as opposed to protecting her.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think he snapped, because for those who don't know, and they got so much going on with them, but just one chapter, which this is documented through the words of Jada Smith on one of those Red Tabletop things on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
She had, for me as a man, I couldn't handle this part of it, but she had sex with, first thing, all right, both of them probably have their side pieces. Will Smith basically
mm-hmm.
keeps his discreet. He doesn't go on a Red Tabletop and air the dirty laundry, his dirty laundry. Now with
mm-hmm.
her, she airs her dirty laundry. But what she aired, which would hurt the ego of any man, would be she had sex with the. Let me get this right. She had sex with. She at one time was the girlfriend of her son's. Homeboys. She had sex with her son's friend. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, now, that alone, now I understand why Jaden probably wanted to get emancipated from his parents some years ago. Now that makes sense to me. Okay. So when he went up there looking at it, he probably, although Chris Rock physically caught that slap, because if Will Smith had gone off on Jada, you know, he would have been vilified as he's a man hitting a woman. Okay. Right. Or if he had beat up August, she would have vilified him. So I just think he just snapped, and he just snapped at whenever it happened. Mm-hmm. But I don't think and they're all kind of lifestyles out here. I don't think that once you open it up like that, it's anything can happen.
Yeah. And in L.A., especially with, you know, the Hollywood celebrities, I've always thought that the people are going to acting. If you're into it because you really find it entertaining, you really find it fun, I say cool. But I think most of the people in Hollywood are there because their whole lives, their egos, their psyches depend upon the applause from strangers. They don't feel as though they're worthy of living practically unless somebody is saying, I love you, clap, 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 I love you. That to me is a mental condition. And I think Will Smith and Jada Pinkett are just two typical Hollywood people who have that kind of mental condition. Especially, now, even if you forget about the fact they have an open marriage, for her to do that, even if the son knows about the open marriage, to do that with his friend.
Right.
What kind of emotional...
there's no boundaries with her. She has no off switch. She has no off switch. None.
You know. But you got to feel that the boy has to be hurt in some way, even if he knows about this and has known about it for years and even accepts it as mommy and daddy want to go their own ways. Okay, fine, that's them. But that's my boy over there. And if he doesn't mind Jada, he probably does resent his friend tapping into his mama.
Oh, yeah, man. I couldn't even fathom that thought. That's beyond. I mean, that's too far for me. I never even heard of such thing until I heard that.
I heard about babysitters, you know, and aunts and uncles and all that kind of good stuff. But this, Jesus Christ.
But I can understand why he probably wanted to get emancipated. Me personally, me and whoever that guy, August or whatever his name is, if I didn't beat him up, I would have nothing to do with him for the rest of my life. Nor would I invite any of my friends over to the house ever again.
That's a rough transition. Because now you don't know who to trust. If that guy was his best friend, for example, and he may not have been. But if you know you got a celebrity mom, you're the Smiths, she's attractive, and one guy did it, shit, how do you know the other ones are, you know?
That's the one we know about.
You know, it's one thing to say to your, you know, your friends say to you, you know, your mom is hot, okay? Maybe, you don't react to that. Maybe you say thank you know? But if you say, God, your mom was hot last night. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Oh, no.
You
no.
Got
see,
a
that's
pussy,
a fight, dude.
You know?
that's a fight. That's a fight. Even you know? Your mama's hot, that might be you can think it, just don't say it.
Yeah, but who knows if just he didn't say it. I mean, if the guy's on TV talking about it, why couldn't he have said it to him in person?
Well, that's true. That's true. Well, he went on Cam too, so they're on YouTube forever. Any comment on the ladies not standing for the anthem?
I think people should protest if they have a legitimate gripe. And you can't protest in order to be convenient for people. Otherwise, the protest doesn't have an impact.
I don't like it if people are protesting and I'm in a car and they prevent me from driving, but I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have an impact. Now, I don't know, because you were talking about this Brianna chick. I know nothing about her. And I'll bet you half of the people, the athletes, professional athletes as well, who protest, they, if you ask them in-depth questions about why, they'll say, well, there's racism.
Right.
Okay. You know, but when you ask them the question, is there systemic racism? They'll say, yeah. But then you say, do you know what the percentages are? Do you know where specifically the systemic racism is in which blacks today are being so discriminated against that they can't get jobs, housing, and loans?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the justice system, yeah, that's fucked up, because there are people who will admit you got a white guy and a black guy committing the same crime. Number one, the black guy is going to be looked at. He's going to be liked. The white guy isn't. They go to trial. It's more likely that for the exact same crime, blacks are going to go to jail. And it's more likely that when they do go to jail, compared to whites, they get a higher sentence. So that's provable.
Mm-hmm.
But with loans, employment, and housing, I hear people say it all the time, but I don't see any statistics. I remember
In the case of Brittany Griner is, you know, like a lot of people don't know who she is, but in their little basketball, women's basketball world, you know, she gets over $1.2 million a year salary from playing basketball. And then Dawn Staley, the coach of South Carolina women's team, she gets over $2 million. She's the highest paid in college basketball, black, white, yellow, green, blue, purple, pink, or brown. She's the highest paid. So Griner protested just like these young ladies did, but now Griner needs the help of the very government that she protested a year or so ago. My whole thing is, if you're getting blessings from a particular, like, there's no such thing as a perfect government. No such thing as perfect people. So if you're getting, I mean, she, even her, her day job is playing with the WNBA in this country. That's $250,000 a year. The average American does not make $250,000 a year. So my whole thing is, although it's not perfect, I'm standing for that anthem. That's just me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I can understand people not doing it. Again, if you're going to protest, you're not going to protest in a way that's going to make it convenient. You know, it wouldn't make an impact if people said, you know, if they protested in the hallway, because nobody would see it. There wouldn't be any controversy. Mm-hmm. My thing is, do you know why you are protesting? Now, some people say, look at these millionaires. They should be protesting. The millionaires aren't protesting for themselves. They're protesting for blacks in general. But even so, do they know why they're protesting? Again, if you ask them, there was a guy I talked to years ago. We had this discussion. It wasn't about the protesting. It was about racism, and before systemic racism became a popular term. It was about 5 or 6 years ago, and he's the host of a show. So I say to the guy, why don't you do this? And then there were other people, too. It was a black show. Why don't you go out and see if you can get a loan? You know, if you can't, you know, maybe you can, you know, talk about it and see what happened. See, you know, explain what your circumstances were. So the host, the other people didn't do it. The host went out and he went to five banks and he was accepted for a loan.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I didn't get the loan from my bank, though. I got it from another bank. And I said, you know what? You still got it after five interviews. How do you know how many white people get it on the first try or the second try?
Right.
Is that, you know, is it systemic racism? I don't believe so, but it may be. I haven't seen any studies that really prove it. But if there are, then it's something that should be corrected. But if it's not, there's two things that I wish would fucking stop on Block Talk Radio. One, blacks complaining about what whites are doing to them because of slavery. And the other one is blacks complaining about whites complaining about blacks taking their jobs and taking over the country. Because I'm saying, if you believe blacks are that inferior and they got your job, What the fuck does that make you?
That's true.
So I wish both of them would shut the fuck up, because I'm tired of it, because none of them provide any proof about what they say. And there are other things that are affecting all three races in the United States besides racism. It's the cabals, the Illuminati, it's the vaccine, it's widespread corruption, it's the fact
inflation.
We can't try, inflation, hyperinflation coming, food shortages coming. So we got that to worry about. You know, if racism was a real problem, then I would say count that in. The everyday problem, you know, whites don't like blacks, blacks don't like whites. You know, we all get along at times, that's fine. But the kind of racism which blacks complain about where, you know, if it weren't for the Charlie, I'd be a so-and-so. Yeah, okay, fine.
Victimhood.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any blacks who've gone to colleges, graduated with decent marks, getting a job, and complaining about how bad systemic racism is. They may say it exists, but the ones that I find are always complaining about are the ones who don't have a fucking pot to piss in, and they never did anything, and they never did anything in school. You know?
Yeah.
So give me blacks who graduated from Harvard and can't get a goddamn job, and I'll say, you know what? Yeah. I agree with you.
Well, yeah, it is, well, as Pianchi says quite often, and I agree with him, not all blacks are alike, and not all whites are alike. So it's, yeah, man, well,
yeah, but
I look
you know
at free enterprise system, you get what you can get.
You know Pianchi. The Pianchi says, the only thing dumber than dumb blacks are dumb whites. Because dumb whites aren't sticking up for their rights. So he and I go to the same show. We've been going to the same show for years every Saturday. I call him a race baiter. I say he's as bad as Al Sharpton.
Ooh. Oh, boy. All right. Well, I appreciate you.
He
Steve, any other comments?
No.
Okay.
Nope, that's it.
All right, well, hold on. We got others coming. I'll put you on hold for a minute. Oh, mute for a minute. 410 area code, your mic is open.
I wanted to go last. Hotel, brother, how you doing?
How you doing? Well, right now, well, we got other people, but you're the one that got his hand up, so that's why I came to you.
I know your boy's out there somewhere. I know he's out there. Look, let's start this thing one by one if I got time.
Yes.
So the LA, 90% of all marriages in America are open marriages. Because marriage is based on trust, the trust factor, right?
All right, hold it. Let's define, for the sake of this conversation, what's your definition of an open marriage?
Well, I guess your definition. You know, if I want to go out there and screw somebody, I'm married. I can go out there and screw anybody I want, right?
All right. Let me attempt it this way. The way I see a define an open marriage is that two people that are legally married and they both agree that they can have outside sexual partners. Now, there could be variations within that, because some people might say, okay, you can have a side piece, I can have a side piece, but here's the thing. Some couples might say, but I don't want to know about it. If you're going to screw somebody else, I don't want to, number one, don't tell me about it. Number two, don't do it in our home, particularly in our marital bed. I'm sure there's some people, because they're more different type of relationships out here than Baskin Robbins have flavors of ice cream. So I'll say fundamentally, an open marriage is when two people, no lying, they both come to an agreement that they can both have side pieces. But there's so many combinations within that. You know, I'll leave it at that.
Well, you can muddy the waters.
Because there are people out here that are swingers, But swingers have rules. They have rules. Some people might have, okay, you know what? We can have another person to our love life, but in some households it might be it can only be another woman. In other households it can only be another man. In other households it can be anybody.
Brother anyway. LA, I like to keep it simple. You
okay.
don't have to agree on nothing. If you go in and you take those vows, if a man is married to a woman and she come in there with an outside baby, he doesn't know it. I mean, you can put it any way you want to. He's agreed to go along with that, whether he says it or not. Or either a woman knows that her husband been out there and got an outside child, whether they agree to it or not.
So you're saying for better or for worse?
Same thing. It's the same thing. Hey, look. Crooks are crooks, and everybody takes that chance. It's just like you going and playing Russian roulette. All you're doing is you're trusting that other person has your best interest at heart. You don't know one way or the other whether
that's
true or not.
That's
and
true.
The thing is, you can try and smooth it down all you want to. All of these marriages are open marriages because anybody can do what the hell they want to. They take the vow, but that doesn't mean they have to follow it. So whether I go to my wife and say, look, I want to screw this girl over here, and she agreed to it, whether she agreed to it or not, hell, she can do the same damn thing, whether I know it or not. But I'm just telling you now, there's, like you said, there's no perfect situation in this thing. So all you're doing is you're basing it on trust, which means it's open because people have free will to do what the hell they want.
Well, with that in mind, can it be protected then?
A whole lot of people do.
You can't stop a person from doing what they want to do.
No, you can't stop it. But I've seen men beat the shit out of men for messing with their side piece.
Yeah, that does happen.
I've seen women beat the hell out of another woman because, hey, look, you messing with my boyfriend. And she's married. So, I mean, yeah, you can protect it. It doesn't mean that
you can attempt to protect it, but, I mean, it necessarily doesn't mean it's going to stop.
Well, I'm just saying for what you say, can it be protected? Well, I mean,
right.
It all depends on what you mean by being protected. Hey, look,
you
this
know,
is
and not. I didn't define that. In other words, can you prevent that marriage from disintegrating from an outside third party?
Well, you're making my point for me. I told you that all these marriages are open marriages. So you just made my point. You can't protect nothing from disintegrating, whether you take the vows or not. So you're making my point. I'm just telling you that, hey, look, everything is open out here. Yeah, you sign that paper, but it doesn't mean that, hey, I don't go out here and do what the hell I want to. If a man gets dressed on Friday night, go out there and stay until Sunday morning, and his wife comes in, yeah, she can fuss at him, but that's open marriage. While he's gone, she could go out there and do the same damn thing if she so chooses to, because I've seen that done too. But I'm just telling you now that everything is out in the open. You do what the hell you want to.
There is that loophole. I didn't think about that marriage vow loophole, because when you say for better and worse, that's the loophole. So
yeah, I mean,
the worst could be anything.
You're right. You know, I mean, it says it right in the contract. You know, I'm gonna stick with you regardless of whether you mess over me or not. I'm here for the duration. You can go out there and do what the hell you want to. I'm still going to be here, you know, because I love
that,
you. Know,
that is the
that's
worst.
Just like Will Smith, you know. And for better, you know, it's better if we go in and we try to make sure that we do all the right things towards one another and love one another. I'm going to be here too. But it's telling you for better or worse. So it's open. You know, it
well,
all depends
I guess
on how
Will and Jada are living up to those marriage vows then.
and every damn body else.
They've had good times. They've had toxic times. But like you said, like everybody else.
Yeah. I used to listen to a song by Isaac Hayes called Hot Butter Soul. And he talked about the time I get to Phoenix, and he talked about how this guy was going through all of the changes and everything. And he loved that woman, so people were telling him he was getting screwed over and everything. He kept until he couldn't take it anymore. But the thing is, Brother L.A., you know, people get wrapped up into this thing about utopia, where you mentioned a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
that don't
wants
exist.
It doesn't exist. This thing about patent, old arm pants. You know, I have two favorite sayings by two people that I go by. Richard Nixon, when he was getting on that helicopter, he says, you know what? Those that hate you can't win unless you hate them back, then you lose. And Patton says, you don't win a war by dying for your country. You win a war by making sure the other bastard dies for his.
Right.
Those are the two things, those two sayings that I live by. You know what? Yes, there's racism here. I believe in racism. And you know what I say about racism? Survival of the fittest, self-preservation. I don't care whether you fly your flag or not. I don't care how you feel about my race. I don't care about how you feel about me personally. When your racism interferes with my being and my space, that's when I have a problem. And I'm going to defend my right. And the thing is, I'm going to do it to the fullest. As Malcolm X says, by any means necessary. I don't hate you because you're a different ethnic group or your race. Because, see, once I descend down into that rabbit hole of hatred, see, I lose all manner of trying to do something sensible. I judge a person on how they treat me. I don't give a damn whether you're black, white, brown, yellow, polka dot, or what have you. And the thing is this. You have a right to exist and have your beliefs just like I do. But now when your beliefs interferes with my beliefs and my right to exist, we got a problem. And I'm going to try and solve that problem because I'm going to leave you alone. See, I can't tolerate a whole lot of people, positions, because, see, most people want to infringe on my rights. So those are the two things that I live by. And let me give you this. You said something about the flag.
Mm-hmm.
I fought for that. I went to Vietnam and stayed there 18 months. When my mama, my grandmama, whom I loved dearly, couldn't even vote. God damn it. The 15th Amendment was on the books, but the people around here said, look, if you go there, we're coming to visit you. You better not go out there and vote. But see, I was drafted, and I was being shot at, and I was shooting at people. Where we didn't have a right to do a damn thing in this country. So now you're talking about whether I need to honor that flag or not. I did it with blood and sweat and tears. So if I don't want to stand up for that fucking flag, I don't have to. I paid the price to do that. And if someone wants to demonstrate something that they feel ain't right, I fought for that right. Now, I don't know whether you did or not. I don't know whether that other guy did or not. And if somebody did, then, hey, that's the way you feel about it. But in actuality, whether you agree with what they're protesting about, it doesn't matter. You fought for the right for that person to do what the hell they want to if something wasn't right in their mind. So now, when a son of a bitch come up there and tell me, well, you need to stand up for that flag. You know this country's this and that. Hell. I went and fought for a country that didn't give a shit about black folks back then. So don't give me this shit that I need to stand up and honor that flag. I did already. I did it with blood, sweat, and tears. I killed people for this fucking flag. So if I don't want to stand up for it, hey, I got that right. I earned that right. So now you can say what you want to.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, you earned the right to do what you did. Now, this Brittany Griner, who's over in Russia and never saw a military base at all, no basic training, never, probably doesn't know how to put together a gun or a rifle, never heard a bomb drop off other than on a movie, you know, that she saw in the theater or on Netflix or something. She's in Russia right now since February, and she protested. But she gets more blessings from the United States than the average person, including white person.
I fought for her to have those blessings.
You did.
Okay. I fought for her to have those blessings. And look, millions of black men that died in World War I, World War II, Spanish-American War, and everybody else fought for her to have them blessings. When they didn't have any rights at all. And the Korean War. So now, don't give me that. Hey, that's capital that we build up for her to be protected by this country. So now, I don't agree with you there. So you can take that and stick that in your back pocket. Hey, even if she didn't fight, some of her relatives probably fought or her forefathers for when rights at all in this country.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
I know they did. If you're old enough to remember, hell, look, this civil rights thing just kicked off in, what, the 60s? That ain't been too long ago. You know, I mean, all you got to do is look at this Emmett Till situation. You know, you got bastards out there that killed him. Didn't even get a fair trial. This justice system ain't never treated us right. Just like your gentleman said. It ain't never treated us right. And don't do it now. So now, if she's over there...
Don't we need more participation in order to make it work? Because if you don't... All right, the way I'm looking at it is, number one, you got to learn the system. And I think most people... That's why I use a chess analogy so much. The first thing that people need to learn in chess is learn that board. How many places or spaces are on that chessboard? And then what are the pieces on the chessboard, and what are the legal moves that they can make? In my opinion, on a critical mass basis, black folks, we don't know the chessboard of politics in the United States. Now, we got black VPs, president, all that, but on a critical mass basis, a lot of us just don't know the fundamentals of how the system works. If you don't know the rules, you can't play the game.
Brother L.A., did you say that you've been looking for utopia?
No. I said if you can find utopia, let me know where it is, and I'll book a ticket.
Well, this
it
is
doesn't
not
exist
utopia.
Other than in your imagination.
Thank you. And here's the thing. What you just explained is utopia. Look, don't you think black folks have tried to learn this system and do know the system and still getting fucked? So now, come on now, Brother L.A., you're a smarter guy than that. Come on.
Wait a minute. All right, let me give an example. It'll be a rare – all right, I'm going to name some people. Clarence Thomas, Barack Obama – these are high-profile people. What the vice president's name? Kamala Harris. Whoever's the head of the law department at Howard University.
I'm gonna give you another one. Eric Holder.
Eric Holder. All right. What I'm saying is, now these are black folks who have gone to law school. They have taken time to learn the rules and how to apply those rules, not only with black letter law or case law, but they know the politics of it. It's going to be a rare day that you're going to see the typical black person who's gone through paralegal training. I'm just going with paralegal training that you're going to see put it this way, there's not one person that has been killed in these high-profile killings of black men that have attended law school, not one.
That you know of.
Paralegal school.
that you know of.
All right, that I know of. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Now, what I'm saying is, what I'm saying on a critical matter, because a lot of times, and I'm not saying in all cases, but a lot of times, because there have been some bizarre cases, like that case where the guy was sitting in his home, eating ice cream, watching a football game, whatever, and he got, that's very bizarre. But a lot of cases where these black men have gotten killed has been, from where I'm looking at it, is non-compliance. Eric Garden out in New York, he didn't comply. Mike Brown and wherever outside of St. Louis, he didn't comply. I'm looking at the cause. I'm not looking at the effect. I'm looking at the cause. What could these guys have done to not get in the situation that they got in? Once again, there are some cases that are bizarre. You know, what's his name? Ahmaud Arbery. All right, we can call that a bizarre case. The guy sitting in Dallas, Texas, eating ice cream in his home, and very bizarre. But a lot of those cases, or the case with Amadou Diallo, bizarre. Okay, but a lot of cases are compliance. That's like real basic. That's not going to be the case in all cases, but you know.
Brother L.A., listen. What you're just explaining is you're making my point. What about the black woman that was taking a shower in her house in Chicago and the police busted in there?
Bizarre case. They were supposed to be, the raid was supposed to be for next door.
But that's not the point. No, that's not the point. It happens. Look, what about the grandmother that was in the house and the police came in there and shot her up in Atlanta? What about the girl that was babysitting, her little boy, the police peeped in the window and went in there and shot her dead? So now, look, those aren't bizarre cases. That happens on a
It happens more than it needs to happen.
Thank you. And that's my point. You know, I mean, that doesn't happen to a lot of other racial ethnic groups. And look, it was even worse back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. But the thing is, look, what about George Zimmerman in the civilian part, not the law enforcement part? What about those guys that killed a brother? He was drinking with them, and they set him afire and chopped his head off. What about that guy down there in Texas? They put a rope around his neck and drug him all the way around.
Let's go to Zimmerman for a chance. The reason why I play that Claude Anderson piece practically every morning, in Orange County, which is like a county away from where I'm at physically right now, in my opinion, had blacks in Orange County been more involved in the system, and here's what I mean by more involved with the system. Not going into detail with the Claude Anderson stuff, is we have to get together on a critical mass base, like in my opinion, let's use the Trayvon Martin thing. Black folks didn't bankroll the district attorney in Orange County, Florida. They didn't bankroll not one judge into the office there. They didn't bankroll not one sheriff in the office. There's enough blacks in Orange County, Florida, to do that. But I don't think, and there, for some reason, I don't know what it is, where the disconnect is, because we do have blacks that know the system, but we don't have enough of them that have gotten together and say, look, you know, wait a minute, let's bankroll this system and let's own it.
You can't own it. It's just like that Spencer guy told, what's this guy named, Roland Martin. He said, you know what, this country was built for us. And he said, and as a matter of fact, look, this is what we built it for our purpose. Now you can go up there, look. Let me say this.
Okay.
If you got a population like Orange County, And what is it? I guess it's what, about 50% white, 60% white, 20%
black. I'm going to look that up right now. I'm going to look that up right now. Yeah. It's mostly white folks in, what do you call it?
Everywhere.
In Orange County. But you do have wealthy blacks that live there, too. But you don't even have to be wealthy. Just participate in the system.
Look, money don't give you power unless you have the numbers. That's when money and power goes together, when you got the numbers. When there's a black person in those offices of authority, he has the total line according to what the system wants he or she to do. If not,
right,
they're going to catch hell. And look, when you got to pay your mortgage or your rent, your car payment, and you keep them lights on and that water running, and you got to keep your child in school, you're gonna swallow those principles. I've been there. You're gonna swallow those principles. They're gonna call you to the coffin.
I got the demographics of Orange County, Florida. It's 68% white. It's 22.8% black or African American, is 0.6% Native American or Alaskan American or whatever, and Asian, it's 5.7% Asian, and Asian includes Indian, Pakistani, Korean, what have you. So
Hispanic,
in Orange
so
County, Florida. Hold on, I'm looking for the Hispanic.
I think Hispanics have more of a percentage of a population than blacks in Orange County.
Hold on, it should be. Wait a minute. Demographics Hispanic. Then let me put that in. Hispanic demographics. 32.7% of the people in Orange County are Hispanic.
Yeah, I knew it was somewhere like that. But all I'm telling you is this, Brother L.A., look, you got to follow orders in this system. And the thing is, black folks know when they're in those positions, look, you can't be ripping and ran and doing a whole lot of things for the interests of your people if you want to keep your job. In fact, some black folks are hard, like Clarence Thomas. Shit, Clarence Thomas is hard on black folks when it comes to issues than your staunchest redneck. So don't give me that, Brother L.A. It doesn't work. Look at the hell your brother caught in D.C. when he was trying to do things on behalf of his black folk.
What name is it?
D.C. when they caught him with the crack.
Oh, talking about Marion Barry?
Yeah, he caught hell all the time. In fact, they did everything they could to stymie what he was doing. And look, they finally got him set up to where they got him out of there. That's the type of stuff that happens to you when you in the interest of your people, when you have the power and you use that power to help your people. That's a prime example. And there's others out here. But you're talking about, you know the system. Yeah, but the system wasn't built for you and me. The system was built to uphold racism. And look, I don't fault them for that, because the only reason blacks catch hell is because we don't practice racism. Self-preservation and survival of the fittest.
All right, what about capitalism, though? Because one of the things that Barry did, and a lot of people don't put it this way, Barry made a lot of black millionaires.
But he caught hell, didn't he?
A lot of those people that testified against Barry, he made rich. Not all of them.
Of course.
But quite a few of them got rich off of government contracts.
That's right. Yeah, I agree with you.
But they didn't cover that aspect
caught,
of it, though.
He caught hell. They was at him every step of the way. They weren't satisfied until they got him set up with that crack pipe. But they was at it.
It took him. What was the time? They took him 9 years and spent $40 million to get that set up on that crack pipe.
You're making my point.
That's a long time, man.
You're making my point. And look,
they had an effect on a $40 million budget. Oh, and the DA in D.C., DeGeneres, they got him out of the way. And they brought in Jay Stevens, who was a White House attorney. And that's who got him set up.
You're making my point. You make that, and look, that was a deterrent for the rest of them to say, look, you see what we did to him. Now, if you want to go in there and you want to pay your light bill and you want to keep your water running and your car payment, finance your side piece, and you pay the mortgage or your rent, you better do what we tell you. Because if you step out of line and you get outside of this system or you use this system for the benefit of your people, we're going to, there's no expense, we are going to spare no expense to get your ass. And you know what? That's a powerful example. And you can go anywhere you want to, talking about you can bankroll the system or you can buy politicians. I listen to Claude Anderson. You ain't got no white man going to go in there and do for black folks what black folks asked him to do regardless of how much money they give him, and then have to go back to his neighborhood to face his brothers and sisters and go and get in time to face them at the country clubs and everything. It just ain't going to happen. Now, you can believe in utopia if you want to, but I'm just telling you now, Brother L.A., you know, intimidation is a powerful force. And if you choose to ignore it, then you're doing it at your own peril. You see it. You may not want to believe it, but you see it. So, I mean,
and he did
look,
get buried.
Clarence Thomas is in a position for life. Clarence Thomas is in a position for life. He doesn't have to worry about a job. But he knows he better go ahead on and do what he needs to when it comes to black issues. Vote against him. Because he got to go home to that pretty wife of his, pretty white wife of his. You know, Obama, I'm going to give you this one. And look, I got to let somebody else get in here.
Oh, you hear the latest Clarence Thomas?
Huh?
The latest about Clarence Thomas is some woman that he used to date. Now, watch. They got her coming out of the woodwork with his sex life, with their sex life.
Probably so. But look, it works both ways. Liberals fight to go in and castrate black men just like white conservatives go in to castrate black men. Any kind of way they can get you, they at you when you don't do what they think you should do. It doesn't matter whether you're white liberal or black or white liberal or conservative or white. Same thing. The shit that he went through back when they were confirming him. Same damn thing. And you know what? He got real black then. Talking about, well, this year's electronic castration. He was black then until he got in office. Then all of a sudden he became an Oreo. But look, let me go on with this other so you can get somebody else.
Okay.
You don't believe in protests, right?
Well, in the case of Brittany Griner, you know, now that she needs some help from the United States government,
and she's supposed to get it.
Well,
based on
she
what
ain't
I
been getting
I
it so
early.
Far.
Well, that might be something that you might want to look at also to prove my point. You know, I mean, they pull out all stops for a white kid. Even if it means going to war.
They got whites locked up in Russia, too. Soldiers.
Oh, yeah. But behind the scenes, they done turn every tap they can. But she's a citizen just like anybody else. But she did wrong. Yeah. I told you in an earlier broadcast.
Well, yeah, from the surface of it, because, it's not smart to go, you know. You don't travel internationally. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even travel nationally with anything that's questionable in your luggage or on your purse. You just don't do it.
And look, if you black, you better make sure that you toe the line on everything everywhere. But now, let me get to this back to this thing, that January 6th thing. You say you don't believe in protests. Did you believe that they had the right to protest January the 6th?
I did.
Those white conservatives?
They exercised their right.
Huh? Okay. And look.
Some of them got caught up with it, though.
Yeah, but you see how they were treated. The police didn't do a damn thing to them, did they? No riot gear, no National Guard, no nothing. Let them go in there and destroy one of the most sacred places in the United States. And the thing is, they're having a hard time going in and prosecuting those rebels. And the thing is, if they had been black, it would have been blood running in the damn street. And you telling me that, hey, you know, things are right around here. No, you didn't say things weren't right. I'm just showing you about this, about, hey, how things are rolling.
It ain't
here.
Perfect. All right.
No, it ain't.
Hold on.
And look, it's no near fair. But all I'm telling you is that, look, I spent 18 months in Vietnam fighting for democracy of the Vietnamese. And I didn't have democracy here. And look, I know other people fought there too. I'm just giving you my perspective from the black side. My grandmama couldn't vote in a free election. And you're talking about bankrolling a candidate to do all of this shit, which they can't do. Because when they get in there, they know, hey, damn, I better not make any waves. But I'm just telling you that if I don't want to stand up for that flag and anybody else that don't want to stand up for that flag, I fought for that right. Because the flag
You physically did do it.
And look, I've been kicked in the ass so far after coming back here. I got buddies, black buddies around here that got PTSD, and they can't even get help from the VA. And a white boy can walk in there right now, and hell, all he did was just move a desk, and he's 100% disabled. And these guys can't hold a job, can't feed the damn families. So now, hey, don't give me that shit about the flag. Look,
okay.
We caught more hell under the stars and stripes than we did the damn Confederate flag. The Confederate flag didn't last that long. But anyway, let somebody else talking.
I appreciate the
Wait, hold it.
Yeah.
If that guy said that there ain't racism, then he believes in the tooth fairy. Okay? That's all I got to say. Tell him the next time he get a tooth extracted, put it on his pillow, and he should get $1,000 the next morning if he don't believe in racism. And I'm out of here.
All right, Beasley. 314, your mic is open.
How in the hell you get PTSD from going to the Army? Serving in the Army?
So I can't answer that.
How in the hell do you get post-traumatic slave syndrome from going to the damn Army?
No, I don't think
believe that.
I think he was talking about post-traumatic stress.
I know what I heard. I don't know what they were thinking. I really don't want to get into it. That's like falling into an abyss. And I want to know, what is Clarence Thomas supposed to do for black people? He can't make laws. That's your politician that makes the damn laws that you vote for. So what is Clarence Thomas supposed to do exclusively for blacks? What is this other woman that they're talking about now? What is she supposed to do exclusively for black people? Can you tell me?
Nothing exclusively. But no politician on that level. No politician on that level. Politicians are
voting off their
constituency.
He's not a politician. He's a jurist.
Constituency. Which is
he's a jurist. He's not a politician. I hear people talk about what Clarence Thomas don't do for black. What is he supposed to do for black people? Just name me something. People come up with all this damn rhetoric that sounds really silly. Sounds ignorant. As far as an open marriage, how in the hell are you talking about an open marriage? How is it that you're going to go out and get all the damn screwing you want, and you're going to call that an open marriage? Where I come from, they call that cheating. and infidels. Like you said, open marriage, like the picture you show on your marquee, everybody know everybody and what's going on. Ain't no secrets. If it's a secret, how do you know what's going on anyway if it's a secret? Do people realize what the hell they be saying?
Well, we got somebody that might counter that. Not me, but wait a minute.
What's another part of your question? No, about the basketball team.
It starts on the ladies that decide not to stay.
They need to keep their ass at home. They home.
Okay.
And you want to talk to somebody that this company has been good to? Who are you talking to? I didn't have to go to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
They told the draft board to leave me alone. Industry needed me. And others too.
I think most of the people who have taken the knee or sat in the locker room, I think they've been treated well by this country overall. That's my opinion.
Oh, yeah, it's the best country in the world. I love it. If they didn't let somebody vote, there's no laws that said that they, no federal laws said they couldn't vote. It was somebody committing a crime. That's what it was. So how are you going to go against the whole country if you got some individual? I ain't never been denied the ability to vote all my life. Matter of fact, people encourage me. Have you been denied the ability to vote?
I have not been denied. Actually, I haven't been denied of anything I can think of.
I wonder why come when they say, when you hear these people talking this stuff, they include you, L.A., in the mix of those that was denied the ability to vote. And you just told me that you don't know what the hell they talking about. So why don't they be more specific? But, oh, no, what it is, they try to create the fictitious, don't never have any existing, we all family, da 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 dun, dun, dun. I mean, do you think that's what it is?
I don't know.
Ain't no we family.
Anybody has a counter or a comment on Mr. Pianchi's comment?
I ain't got time to listen to that stuff. I was ready to talk at 10:30.
You know what?
Listen, I don't want to hear that guy. Cut him out. Mute him. No, I'm hanging up.
Let him talk, but I want to rebuttal.
Go ahead. I'll see you later. I can't stand the smell.
I can't stand the smell either, but that's the freeloaders, the black freeloaders out here. See, when those people marched in Selma and they set those dogs on him, see, that gave him the right to vote. But see, he can't appreciate that. When the people in World War One and World War Two, black soldiers went over there to fight for somebody else's democracy. See, that gave him a chance to vote. And here's the other thing. If he loved his country so damn much, he should have volunteered to go to Vietnam like everybody else that wanted to uphold patriotism. So now he didn't do that. There is such a thing as PTSD. See, he tried to be a smart ass. God damn it. I got brothers out here right now that's suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder that can't get VA benefits.
Let me ask you something.
And the thing is, he want to make fun of some damn body.
Look,
you don't make fun of my damn service time, brother.
I agree. Let me ask you something, because Robin's not on here. Robin really first woke me up to PTSD, post-traumatic, not slave, but stress syndrome. She was
Air Force. Trying to be a smart ass. God damn it. You know what? Those are the type of color folks that piss me off. Now, here's the other thing.
Let me ask you this. With the Beltway sniper, his sister said, and I've heard this from other people, not just with him, but other people that went over to Vietnam, who went during, well, Vietnam was wartime. It wasn't peacetime. His sister said when he came back, he wasn't the same anymore. So now you went through that whole, and first thing, thank you for your service, particularly because you survived that. What did you see out there that, I mean, is what do you guys go through during that time? Because that was real wartime.
According to your friend over there, hey, look, it wasn't that damn bad, you know. But look, let me give you this. Look, you talk about people getting shot over here. You got people
right.
that, hey, look, their whole insides were blowed out all over the damn ground. You got people with the arms blowed off. One of my buddies, they're suffering from PTSD now.
Right.
He was a combat engineer, and he said all he saw was a white flash. And when he opened up, one of his buddy's arms was across his neck. And when he lifted up, when he tried to get the arm off his neck, his old arm came up. Mm-hmm. You got people with their damn brains blowed out, you know, and then some idiot has nerve enough to make fun of PTSD. You know, that's the kind of stuff that gets me about some color folk. And look, as far as Clarence Thomas is concerned, all we want Clarence Thomas to do is uphold the damn law. That's all. That's all we want from anything, anybody in the United States is go ahead on and administer the law fairly. Then he going to come up here and with that crazy-ass shit. You know, I have a problem with some people because some people don't appreciate what gives them the right to enjoy life.
Right.
You see people right here right now trying to restrict the right to vote. And you got blacks over there fighting right that was in Iraq and Afghanistan. And when they come back, if their stuff ain't right,
hold on. Robin, call into the blog. Call into the blog talk, okay?
All right.
So now, you know, you let me talk. You know, that's all he is anyway is a bunch of damn talk.
Well,
God damn it, get out there and do something constructive.
He left. But I wanted to...
It's a good thing he did. But you know what? When he comes back, I'm going to crack his fucking neck because, see, I don't like nobody making fun of my service time. I went and
yeah,
I gave
some serious
he ain't done a damn thing but enjoy the fruits of our suffering. So you tell him that the next time you see him, God damn it.
Well, you know what? I don't know if Blog Talk might not let her call in because we're in overtime. We might have to set that up for Mark. Yeah, I like – because my stepfather was an alcoholic, man, and I really didn't appreciate – he was in the Korean conflict, and he had a alcohol problem. And until the last 10, 12 years of his life, he beat it. But I think he said – wait a minute, did Robin – oh, all right, Blog Talk won't let in because we're late. I tell you what, we're going to pick this up tomorrow because I like to know more because, like,
you know,
I've heard
brother,
people have gone over – and they weren't the same. And I guess that you go through all the hell, some of the stuff you just shared today. I mean,
look,
man.
Brother Elliot, I don't want to talk to that rascal. You know what? Because, see, I'm going to lose it. Because, see, it's people like him that always had things going his way and he never appreciated how he got there. He doesn't realize that down here in the South, all of it that I told you about people can't vote, yeah, it was illegal, but the government didn't do anything to stop it. So now he can't tell me just because he had the right to vote that a lot of black folks, what the hell were they marching in Selma?
Robin,
were they marching in Selma?
Let me call in.
Okay. I got Beasley. We were talking about PTSD and Beasley served in Vietnam, and you served during peacetime, right, Robin? Okay, well, we'll do another Blog Talk on that with no trolls on the line. All right, so thanks for calling, Rob. I'll call you later this afternoon.
Okay, did you get straight with your cousin?
Yeah, I'll tell you about that later.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Ask him the next time ask him the next time he gets up there, what were those black folks marching for down there, down south? Yeah, it was illegal, but they couldn't vote.
Right.
So now, you know, I just want to know where he was. You know, it's young people like him that don't appreciate what the hell, how they got to where they are. You know, he
right.
think everything's been just hunky-dory since he's been here when people lost their lives to try and get the right to vote around here. That's why come when I hear people talking about protests. If those people hadn't a protest, the only reason they protest was because they couldn't go through the system. The system didn't
right.
protect them. So now, you know, you get that idiot back up here for me.
Well,
me off, goddammit.
It's almost 1 o'clock. We over in overtime. So before Blog Talk kicks us off, he dropped off anyway. We'll pick back up this week on that, but. Thank you for your service once again, and you have a good rest of the day. Just cool off now. Thanks for the feedback. Anyway, I'll talk to you tomorrow, man.